Philippians in the New Testament, chapter number 4. We'll bring a series of messages, as most of you that have been here all these weeks, since the first Sunday of the year, been bringing a series of messages on entitled Treasures of Darkness. There in Isaiah 45, verse 3, says that He shall give unto you treasures of darkness. There's darkness to this world, but thank God that the glorious light has been given to us. And we have seen that last week we had the message on treasures in the home and how that we ought to have the right kind of a home. And we've seen that there's treasures in Him, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, treasures in the house of God, treasures in heaven. Now this morning I was to read in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 1. We'll read down through a number of verses and we'll have the message for this hour. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel. Now notice this. Verse number 7 is our text verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power which may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I want us to think this morning upon the subject of the treasures in the human body. Treasures in this life that the Lord Jesus Christ has given unto us. The background of this scripture is dealing with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry that He has given unto us. The Bible says in verse number 1, where we read, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. We have a ministry that God has given unto every child of God. Every person that's been born again, we have a ministry that has been presented unto us and has been given unto us. And it's our duty and our obligation to make sure that we fulfill the ministry that God has given. Now, I'm not talking about just a ministry of being a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, but I'm talking about the ministry of being a Christian, being a child of God, being a born-again believer in telling others and letting others see Christ live in and throughout life. Our past ministry, the past things of the Word of God, everything was done by the law, and there was no mercy in the law. There was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But thank God under grace. Oh, thank God today we have the grace of God. And the ministry that we have has been given unto us by His grace, showing forth the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we that have no right whatsoever to come to the very place of God, we have that privilege now by the ministry of the grace of God, and in this earthen vessel that God has given you and has given I, that we have, that we can present the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, that they might come to know Christ as their Savior. And that's a treasure in this earthen vessel. Now the Bible says here that we have some things in the Word of God. There's some things that we have to receive. First of all, we have received the ministry that we just talked about. Not only do we receive something, but we renounce something in verse number 2. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And then it gives you three words here: dishonesty, craftiness, and deceitfulness, or deceitfully. Now we find here that as a child of God, those three words ought not to be in our vocabulary. We ought to not have the things of dishonesty in our life. When we tell someone something, then we ought to be honest and tell them the truth. Ought to be honest in every affair of our life. If we make a promise or a pledge to someone, then we ought to do our best to make sure that in this earthen vessel they'll see not dishonesty, but they'll see Christ living in and through me, that I'll be honest with them and tell them and do what I say I will do. And not only that, but craftiness. You've seen some people, they just wiggle and they connive and they try to every way in the world just get around you and to do things and not do things that they told you they would do. That's craftiness. That ought to not be in the life of a believer. That ought not to be in the life of a child of God. And then the Bible says here that we need to renounce this thing of handling the Word of God deceitfully. We need to be honest with people and tell them what the Word of God says about heaven. Tell them what the Word of God says about hell. Tell them what the Word of God says about salvation. Tell them what the Word of God says about sin and the results of sin and the nature of sin and how that we rebel against God. We'll die in our sins and we'll go to hell, and handle the Word of God honestly and handle the Word of God not deceitfully, but being right and open and above board with what thus saith the Lord. The Scripture tells us very plainly that we need to receive this ministry that God has given us. And then we need to renounce those things that are dishonest and craftiness and deceitfulness. We need to get rid of that in our life. We need to refuse some things. In verse number 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their eyes." There's a refusal here of men that will hear the gospel, but yet they will not see what they need to see, and they'll go off in their way and in their sin, and they'll die without God. They have refused the gospel of God. But nevertheless, that does not relieve us one iota. That does not belittle or relinquish our responsibility of telling them that God loves them, that God died for them in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God being in the flesh. I thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but thank God He came down in an image of a man, of a mere human being, and suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary. The blood came from His hands, from His feet, from His side, and that blood was shed for them that they might be saved. And if that gospel be hid to them, it ought not to be you and I that hides that gospel. We ought to be shedding the light on the gospel, telling them that Jesus saves. If it be hid, it's because the devil has done his homework and he's blinded their eyes. There's a responsibility of presenting Christ and not self. Look in verse number 5. It says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus." Anytime you find somebody, all they will do is talk about what they're doing, talk about what they're accomplishing, talk about what is in their life, you just put it down. They're not preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. We better not lift ourselves up, because one day we'll be brought down low. And I believe the trials and the testings and all the discouragements that come in our life is to keep our face before God and say, "God, I'm nothing in Your sight. Without You, I can do nothing. But oh, thank God, with You, I can accomplish those things that You give me to do. And all the winds of hell can go against us, and God still will have the victory." And so we find here that there are some things that we have the responsibility that we present the Lord Jesus Christ in a clear and vivid picture of He dying for the sinner, He that was sinless, dying for the sinner, that we might go to be with Him forever and forever. That's our responsibility. That's your responsibility. That's yours and your. That's my responsibility of giving a vivid, clear picture and representing the Son of God. If we don't do that, then why are we here? If we don't follow what God's told us to do, then why does He leave us here? That's the purpose. We are here to honor and to magnify and glorify the Son of God. We have that responsibility. Then we find in verse number 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine." Thank God there's the revelation. When the light goes forth, darkness has to flee. When the light of the glorious gospel is preached and people are sitting in the congregation, or you're talking to someone one-on-one, face-to-face, and you present them the glorious gospel, and the light of God breaks in their heart and they realize their need and they realize that they're in darkness, they realize that they're going to go to hell, the glorious gospel light breaks through to them and they become a child of God, because God does a work on their heart. You're here this morning, and I'm here this morning simply because one day God, through the work of the Holy Spirit in my life and your life, opened up my heart and realized that I was in darkness, that there was no good thing within me that God would desire me. But by the grace of God, the ministry that God has given unto us, by that marvelous ministry, He has opened the way that I can go to heaven. There, the light of God reveals that to a man and a woman, a boy, a girl, that they might come to know Him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to a knowledge of the Son of God, that they'd go to heaven when they die. Then we come to our text verse, verse 7, "But we have this treasure." Oh, thank God, thank the Lord this morning. We have this treasure in earthen vessel. God hasn't chosen. He could have chosen that the stars would sing out the praise and the glory of God. God could have chosen that the planets of this universe would sing about the Lord and give forth the Word of God. God could choose the little lilies in the fields to magnify Him. God could have chosen the beautiful flowers, whatever they might be, to sing the glory and the praises and the honor and the grace of God. But God has chosen this earthen vessel that we have, that we be used of God to tell people about the Lord. We have, the Bible says, this treasure. And a treasure is something that's valuable. It's something you better guard. It's something you better take care of. I started to bring this morning a little earthen vessel and put some treasures in that. All the problem was I didn't have any treasures to put in that much. That which the world would think would be very good. But I'm glad God has chosen this earthen vessel. God has taken this old vessel of clay made of the dust of the earth, and God has put within me and has put within you treasures that the world can see Christ. We better realize that these are treasures of darkness the world do not understand. The world does not understand how that we do what we do and why that we do what we do. But thank God, these are treasures in our lives and treasures in our body. And the Holy Spirit lives within us as a child of God. He is within us, helping us and using us and showing us what treasures He has given unto us. And we're going to find some of those treasures. We're going to reach our hand down into this earthen vessel. And we're going to pull out some treasures that this world needs to see. But the ministry that God has given unto us is a valuable ministry. The value of the treasure is not the vessel, but it's that which is in the vessel. The value of the treasure. Let me say it again. The value of the treasure. If I had a little earthen pot here, the value would not be in that pot, but the treasure would be what I would pull out of that pot. It'd be that diamond ring or that $100 bill. Or it'd be those things that the world would think would be treasures and would be good. But it doesn't mean anything. That earthen vessel is nothing without those treasures. And folks, without the grace of God in my life and in your life, without God working in through us, we're nothing in His sight. We're nothing in this world. But thank God, the Spirit of God deals with us and rules within our heart as a child of God. And He has given us treasures in this earthen vessel. Notice here why. Verse number 7. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The reason that we're here today is to give honor to God. The reason that we're assembled here in this church this morning is to give honor to the Lord. The excellency of the Word of God, the excellency of Christ, the excellency of God. And it's not in us, it's not us, but it's that which is within us. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many examples that we could give concerning that, but for sake of time, I'll just give you one good example. If you turn over to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3, you'll find that as Moses was in the desert, he saw a bush that was burning. Wasn't anything strange about that bush burning, because that happened very many times. In that area of the world, the sun would get so hot that those little bramble bushes would be so dry that literally the sun would set them on fire. Wasn't anything unusual that Moses would see that. But it was unusual, and the Bible tells us there in Exodus chapter number 3 that the bush burned, but it was not consumed. There was the miracle in that the bush was burning, but yet when Moses looked upon that, and he kept looking at it, and strangely he looked at it, and he noticed that it burned and burned and burned, but it was not consumed. Oh, it wasn't the fire, it wasn't the bush, but you'll find in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 33, verse number 16, that Moses tells us it was that God that dwelt in that bush. It's God that dwells in you and I. It's us that we burn and burn. I get so sick and tired of hearing this thing of burning out for God. I don't believe that mess. I don't believe that junk. I don't believe you're going to burn out for God. If you'll put God in the right place and serve Him, I believe He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the ability to do what He wants you to do. I hear preachers quitting and giving up and just saying, burn out on God. Something's wrong with them. Right. The problem is, and the thing is, that we burn, but we're not consumed. And folks, that ought to be the picture of our life. We ought to burn for the Lord. We ought to burn for God. We ought to have a desire and a zeal to serve the Lord, but yet not be consumed in that. It's that treasure and earthen vessel that we have. It's that treasure. There's some things in this earthen vessel that God has given us. First of all, I want us to think about the light. Then, therefore, there is no darkness. Oh, I'm glad one day the light of God sprang on my heart. I'm glad one day the Spirit of God came to me and all of heaven opened up and light shined and I understood that I was lost and undone without God and without hope. The light of the glorious gospel broke in on me and thank God I got saved. If you got saved, the same thing happened to you. When the light of God manifests, it manifests Himself. The light of God manifests God Himself. The light of God manifests, shows light on the Son of God. The light of God manifests the Word of God. And then the Word of God, through the light of God, will manifest how rotten and dirty and low-down sinner you are. And when that happens, oh, you fall on your face before God and say, "Oh, God, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man that's undone. God, have mercy on me." And you know what will happen? He'll have mercy on you. This old stuff of salvation is in a little old prayer, a little old plan, a little old this, a little that. Salvation is in the Son of God.
Amen.
If you'll trust Him, He's promised to save you.
Yes.
We walk in the light as He is the light. We can see the dirt that we collect around us. It's a very amazing thing. Sometimes when the sun is shining in your house, some of you smiling, you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
Sun's coming in that window over there, and you sit down, and you hit your hand on that couch, and boom, 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 boom. You know what that is? That's all that dust that's been collected. Why, you can't see it at nighttime. What's wrong? You can't see it just with the regular light. But well, when the sun comes in and it gets there just right, and you hit that couch, or you hit that chair, or you kick your carpet, whatever it is, all of a sudden the dust begins to come up. That's that stuff that's been collected that we do not see.
Yeah.
But boy, the light of God reveals that dirt in us. The light of God shows us how dirty we are. Even though we've been saved, even though we've been born again, we still have a problem with collecting dirt, don't we? We have a problem with this old flesh, this old earthen vessel that God has given to us. But in that earthen vessel, there's a treasure that the light of God reveals to us, wickedness and sinfulness in our heart. And all we can do is go on our face before God and say, "Oh God, have mercy on me. I've sinned against You. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against myself. God, forgive me my sin." And I'm glad the Word of God says He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. There's a lot of folks running around, they're talking, they're preaching almost like they believe in perfection. Folks, we haven't arrived yet. We haven't got there yet. But the light of God that's within this earthen vessel, if you're saved, you've got that light. Quote, unquote, that's all of it. You don't lose it. You've got the light of God when you're saved. And all of a sudden, a stirring comes in your heart. And you know what will happen? The light of God will reveal that old dirt that's been around. And then you've got to say, "Lord, I've got to clean this place up." Somebody hits their couch. They said, "Man, I've got to get the vacuum cleaner." You know what? You know why you do that? Because the light has revealed the dust that's been collected there. And the light of God, the Word of God, will reveal the dirt that's been collected in our heart. And we see that. We say, "Oh God, I've got to get the vacuum cleaner and get rid of this stuff." God works in our hearts spiritually, and He'll work according to the light of God. We walk in the light. The dirt will be collected upon us. But it's our duty to take care of that and get rid of that. And then we can delight in the journey, and the distance won't seem so far to heaven. A lot of folks think they're never going to get there. Well, I'm enjoying my trip while I'm going. I don't know about anybody else, but I enjoy being a Christian. You say, "You enjoy all that?" I sure do. I enjoy what goes on in my life, how God deals in my soul, and how God speaks to me. I say, "Thank You, Lord. Thank You for speaking to me, this old earthen vessel. I walk in the light as He is in the light." Not only that, but I worship in this light. Jesus told us if we're going to worship Him, we must worship according to the Spirit of God and according to the truth of the Word of God. If you're going to worship God, and by the way, what this world calls worship is 10,000 million miles away from worshiping God. I just almost will not use worship service. I doubt we do. But to worship God, to get where God is and know what God's doing in our heart and fall on our face before Him and say, "Oh God, help me to be what I ought to be. God, forgive me for my sins." And just get along with God. There's the worship that we must do, and it must be in accordance to the Word of God. The Bible says the Pharisees, they worshiped and they knew not what. He told that woman at the well, He said, "You worship, but you don't know what you worship." And there's a lot of folks this morning that's sitting at a church service, and it's 12:05, they're getting their coats off. We're not started yet. They're getting their coats on, ready to go home. And they've worshipped, and they don't know what they've even come to church for. Folks, I pray today we've come in the light of God to worship Him. We work in the light of God. Turn, if you would, to John chapter number 9. We'll never get done this morning. John chapter number 9, verse number 4. The Bible says, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man shall work." There's a night coming when the light of God will not be manifest, and we must work. If we work, it must be in the light. If we work for God, it must be while there's day, while there's time to do that. But the time is going by quickly, and the night is upon us. Day is far spent. The night is here, and people are not saved. If we're going to do anything, we've got to do it while there's light. We have that light in our souls. We have that light, that treasure of light within us. And we must wait for Him in the light. Not only do we have a light where there is no darkness, but I thank God. Now, I'm going to say this, but here lives the whole world. We have a love. Yeah, L-O-V-E, love. We have a love that is divine in nature. The Bible tells me in the book of the Gospel that if we show forth to the world that we are saved, we're going to love the brethren. Now, we have a love that is divine in nature. I'm glad God showed forth His love to me. And it was a divine love. It was a holy love. It was a righteous love. It was a love that brought me from the road to destruction, or from the road to destruction, and brought me to the road to eternity and to eternal life. Brought me off the wide road that leads to destruction and placed my feet upon a solid rock that I can walk on the narrow path that leads to heaven because of the love of God. Everybody always believing the love of God. They need to read it. They need to experience it. They need to have it. They need to once again enjoy the love that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. For we did not pass from death and life. For we have passed from death and life because we love the brethren. The world knows that. This is the excellency of the work of God in our life. This is one of the treasures that we have, is that we can love each other and serve God together. And because God loved us. The Bible says we love Him because He what? First, loved us. Divine love can be seen in a number of different things. Divine love. I'm talking about the love that comes from God now. That comes from God toward us. We can see it in the constraining of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because if we thus judge, if one died for all, then all are dead." The love of Christ constrains us, keeps us from doing some things. That divine love of the Lord. The divine love of God will not only constrain us, but it will also chasten us. We find in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." Whom the Lord loveth. Have you ever been whipped by God? Just say, "Thank be unto the Lord, He loves me." Have you ever had God take you to the woodshed? Well, it's because He loves you. Yeah. Have you ever taken your child, your boy, your girl out down there, and you just put the love to them, and they said, "Boy, if that's love, I don't want the other." But down the road somewhere, they will appreciate it because they know you love them. And if God has not taken you, and if God lets you go on in your sin, and God lets you go on without any problems in your life, you better check up, because He'll chasten those whom He loves. We don't enjoy chastening. We endure that. But I realize and I know that if God didn't love me, then He wouldn't bother me with that. When God gets through me, I have to say, "Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Let me know that you still care." Oh, the love of God, the chastening hand of God, His continuing presence of love toward us. Romans chapter 8, verse 38, verse 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Thank God the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is a love that will show us and will tell us it's a never-ending love. That's the love of God toward us. But what about the love from us to Him? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 19, we love Him because He first loved us. That's our love for Christ. Our love for Christians. It says, "He that believeth," in John 14, 12, "He that believeth in me, the works of Him that I do also, and greater works of these he do, because I go to my Father." What about our love for those who are lost? The Bible says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. I bless them that curse you. Do good them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." There, the Word of God gives us instruction of how we are to react when our enemies come upon us. We still don't love them. We don't bite back, we don't spit back, we don't fight back. We love them because the God of heaven lives in our heart, and we have that divine nature of love in our soul, and we just have to go ahead and love them anyway. Well, the problem is sometimes we won't get into fights, we won't get into battles. But the Bible says that we're to love our enemies. The Bible says we're to love our church. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 26, verse number 8, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth." We're to love the house of God. Oh, yes, this is a treasure. It's an earthen vessel. If somebody comes to you before you got saved, spit in your face, what'd you do? Now, you might do it now, but... Yeah, I know you'd do it then. Somebody ridiculed you and despitefully used you, what would you do then? Well, we'd just go right back. But the blessing now is that we have the love of Christ in our heart. And we just pray for them. You know what will hurt your enemies more than anything else? Just take them to the throne of God. Just take them to the throne of grace and say, God, you know what's going on. You know all about that. And just pray for them. They don't understand that. That's a love. That's a treasure that we have in earthen vessel. Another treasure that we have, and we're going to have to quickly go through these. Another treasure that we have is liberty in the Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 8, some of the greatest verses anywhere in the Word of God, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And then the Bible says, if you've been made free, free indeed. Oh, thank God. We have liberty this morning in that we've been set free. Politically, there are people all around this world that want freedom. And that'd be a great treasure to them if they could just have a little bit of freedom. If they could move about and they could do what they want to do. They could own property. They could go from one country to another without any restrictions. That freedom is a treasure. There's a lot of people religiously that need that freedom that we talk about being free indeed. A lot of folks are bound down by their rules. A lot of folks are bound down by their regulations. A lot of folks have been bound down by the things that people have done, by traditions of men. But I'm glad when a person gets saved, they've been set free. They're no longer under the bondage of Satan. They're no longer under the bondage of self. They're no longer under the bondage and a slave to sin. But now they've been set free. What a treasure that is. All within this earthen vessel. Within this vessel that God has given unto us. Realize you have the light of God. Realize you have the love of God. These are treasures. Do you realize you have the liberty that's made you a free person? Back in our own history of America, people were bought and sold as slaves. And then the day of emancipation came and they were set free. What a thrill that must have been to many of them. Many of them didn't know how to act. They didn't realize. They did not know what freedom was. But folks, we have to know. We do know what freedom is in our life. We are free people in America. We have if we want to get in our car and go anywhere we want to go, if you want to cross the border into another country, you can do that. If you want to drive all across the country and do what you can do that, but it's not that way in a lot of countries. Amen. Don't have that freedom. That's a treasure. But far greater than that treasure is that treasure we have of being free in God. Amen. Having the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know that I've been set free. To know that no longer sin has rule over me. To know that no longer Satan has dominion over me. I have freedom. I have liberty in the Lord. And there's no degree in that. Liberty comes at a great price. One of our founding fathers said, give me liberty, give me death. Folks, the liberty of the Lord comes at a great price. It took the death of the Son of God. It took the death of that one. Liberty. We ought to show people, because of our liberty, we ought to show them the Savior and not be a stumbling block. The problem is so many Christians that have that treasure in earthen vessel, they don't show the Savior, but they are a stumbling block. Or may we not give forth that. May we not be that type. We need to show forth the Savior. We need to show that we have service for our Lord. The Bible tells us that. We ought to show forth that we are going to stand steadfast. The winds of this world may come at us. The waves may roar against us, but just stand steadfast in the work of God. Always abounding in the grace of the Lord. That's liberty that we have. And then I'm glad, even through all this, one of the great treasures that we do not recognize, I believe we find there where we read in the Word of God there in Corinthians. We find that in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, I want to go back and read this, and with this we'll close. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8, we find that a treasure that's within earthen vessel is the treasure of a life, even with difficulties. You know, it'd be a dull world if we didn't have some difficulties, wouldn't it? Somebody said, boy, I wish I didn't have any. It wouldn't be dull to me. Yes, it would. Because without difficulties, we don't go down. Without difficulties, we don't go on our face before God. The Bible says here that the Apostle Paul, he tells us here that we have a life. In verse 7, he says we have this treasure. And one of these treasures, in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I'm glad, thank God, I don't have to despair. I'm glad to know who I believe. I'm glad to know that I believe in the Son of God. Then he says here, persecuted, but not forsaken. You know what he's talking about? Persecuted of the world, but not forsaken of God. What a treasure that is to know that when all of the world turns against you, if you're saved, if you have this treasure in earthen vessel, that you have a life that's even a life of distress, thank God He's not going to turn His back on you. He's always there. Paul says here, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. We may be cast down, we may be trodden underfoot, but greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is He that's within my life than he that's in this world. Or today, these treasures in earthen vessels. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not what we do. It's not what we say. It's not where we go. But it's what God does in and through us. These treasures that are in earthen vessels. You had a little old stone pot here, that earthen vessel. Or you could use your cookie jar. A lot of times people put money back in their cookie jar. That's their treasure. A lot of times kids will put back money for something. That's their treasure. But God's given us an earthen vessel that moves and walks and breathes and lives. And He's given within us treasures from heaven. He's given us a light that shows the world salvation. He's given to us a love that comes from God. He's given to us these things, these treasures. He's given unto us even a life that is distressed. And He's given us a liberty that is forever. We're free indeed, never to be under bondage again. How are you using the treasures that God has given to you in your earthen vessel? How are we manifesting? What are we doing with these treasures that God gives us? Well, we need to use them for His honor and for His glory, that the light of the glorious gospel might shine forth, that the excellency of Christ might be in us, this treasure in earthen vessel, the treasure in the house of the believer. Not a physical house like this or your house, but this house right here. Treasures in our human body. Are we using them for the honor and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Christian, are you letting your light so shine? No man has a light and puts it under a bushel. No man but a Christian. Literally, we do not put a light under a bushel. But in our spiritual life, we do that too many times. When Gideon marched, what did God tell him to do? Put a light in his vessel. What happened when they broke those pitchers? The light shined. The walls fell. Why? Because the light of God. They did what God told them to do. The light of God shined forth. What about our lives this morning? Even though a life filled with difficulty, it's a treasure. No place for pride in the work of the Lord. No place to have big I and little you. No place to have this thing of pride. But just say, Lord, we're here at Your appointment. We're here because You've given us this time. Now, God, help me to use it for Your honor and for Your glory. But the one thing that will keep us from using that is that which the light shows us. That's the dirt. That's the drugs of this world, the dross of this world. That will keep us from doing the work of God. But when the light shows us who we are and what we are, I'll say, God, help me to clean that up. Help me to get rid of that in my life. When a Roman soldier went out and had victory, you know, he'd come back into the city. And they would place a crown over him, wouldn't place it on him. But as he came back into the city, there'd be two men carry a crown. They'd place it right above his head. And there'd be a throng of people behind him, shouting how great he was. But also in that crowd, there was a throng of people that told him how he used to be, and told him how weak he was, and told him that he would be the next one to die. You know what that was for? To keep him from not getting up here too high. And he realized that he's just a man like everybody else. Folks, in the work of God, we better realize we're just people. We're humans. We're earthen vessels. And God has put within us these things to build us up. He's also given us these things to bring us low. And these are treasures in the human body. Let's stand this morning.